So our text is from Matthew chapter 14. These words, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, if we were able to read the thousands of sermons that Martin Luther delivered in his lifetime, many of which we still do have, we'd find a pattern, a common pattern, when it comes to how Luther presented Christ to the people there in Wittenberg, Germany. For in his sermons, Luther would always present Christ, first of all, as God's gift to us, and secondly, as an example for us. I'll repeat that. Luther would always present Christ, first of all, as a gift, God's gift to us, and secondly, as God's example for us. Now, immediately here we can think of Christmas, can't we? That holiday upon which we celebrate Jesus Christ as just that, as God's gift to us. And what kind of gift is Jesus? Jesus is God's gift of justification, of forgiveness. That is God's way of overcoming the sin and death with which we are born so that we can live forever. Really is as simple as that. If someone were to come to our door offering us eternal life in a pill, and it was true, and we believed them, and the pill actually worked, how happy would we be that someone had given us such a gift that we then would live forever? In him was life, we read in the Gospel of John. We read that about Jesus, and so it is. Jesus is God's gift of life to mankind. But not just eternal life. Not just eternal life, but life now. Life lived now. But life lived now not as our ideal selves, not as our best selves, not even as a super incredible version of humanity as defined by the world, but life lived like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is life lived with Christ as our example. Our ideal, Jesus Christ. Our goal, Jesus Christ. Our daily life, Jesus Christ. Now, our text is brief, and it notes for us that Jesus had compassion on those who came out to see him. And so Jesus being not only man but God, that is, Jesus having the capacity to heal, Jesus healed them. So is that it then? To be like Jesus, to use Jesus as an example, to aspire to be Jesus-like, we are to heal other people miraculously when they come and ask for that healing? Well, that really hasn't been given us to do, has it? I mean, the miracles of Jesus, what did they point to but the fact that through faith in him, forgiveness results, and through forgiveness, healing, and through healing, eternal life. By believing in Jesus Christ, we will all be healed. Healed so that we will live forever. Here and now, however, such a sign of the resurrection, that is to heal miraculously, is not given to each and every one of us to perform by the Holy Spirit. But certainly compassion. Compassion is there for us. And compassion is the idea that we simply are not concerned for ourselves, but concerned for others even more. That we are not simply concerned for others, but we actually suffer when we see them suffer. That is, we suffer with them, and what is more, we desire to help them. We want to help them. That is, by the way, the difference between compassion and empathy. When we have empathy for someone, we certainly might understand what they're going through, but that understanding does not lead us to the desire to help them. When we have compassion, however, not only do we understand what a person is going through, but such understanding, it leads us to want to help them. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, had compassion for us, His creatures. And so He sent to us the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, to relieve us of our suffering, not just for a moment, not just for a day or a month or a year, but forever. And He did that. God the Father did that at great cost to Himself by sacrificing for us His only begotten Son. Now, such compassion for us, the Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, also demonstrated in our text when He looked upon those coming to Him in faith and healed them. Healed them in the here and now. The issue for us then, this morning. Well, Christ did this. He had compassion and He healed. Listen up. Even though Christ Himself was suffering. Christ Himself was suffering. He had just suffered a great loss, a great personal loss, a great personal loss. Listen to the beginning of our text again. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself. Now think about that. Jesus knew who John the Baptist was, of course. Jesus knew that John was the Elijah prophesied by the prophet Malachi, come to herald Jesus' advent, His own advent. Jesus also knew that His life and John's death were connected. As John, in fact, did need to decrease as Jesus increased. In other words, the time of John the Baptist was over. The reason for John's birth and life had come to a close. John the Baptist had fulfilled his calling. But even though this was so, and it was all according to the will of the Father, the death of John the Baptist, his beheading, caused our Savior, Jesus Christ, to go off by Himself. And I think that's the challenge for us today. The point where we this morning interact with this incident. And that is, because our sufferings in this life, too, cause us to withdraw, cause us to go off by ourselves, cause us to want to be left alone, to grieve, to suffer, even to hide from the world and all its pain and hurt and sorrow. And we do this in a variety of ways, don't we? I mean, which of us has the opportunity to actually physically leave our lives as they are and go somewhere else for a while and contemplate some great trauma that has occurred? Easier is simply to withdraw with our minds, isn't it? To withdraw with our minds from a given situation. Or with our hearts from the people around us. Or with our souls from society in general. We cocoon ourselves in some way. We wrap ourselves in some sort of psychological insulation. We surround ourselves somehow with bubble wrap type thinking that keeps the world away as we simply suffer inwardly from what we've experienced in some way, what has been done to us perhaps, for what has been said about us, for what we've heard. But unlike Jesus, unlike our Savior, we have a hard time coming back from where we've gone. I'll repeat that. Unlike Jesus, we have a hard time in our sin from coming back from where we've gone. Having withdrawn into what we jokingly call nowadays our happy place, we hesitate to emerge, to return, to engage. Sure, it might seem like we do, because even from our happy place, we can express empathy. That is, we can understand the straits that others are in, we can comprehend the challenges they face, and we can comfort ourselves with the fact that we're thinking about them and we understand their situation. But does that move us then to compassion, to want to help? Here I'm not talking about running somewhere to some other continent to feed the poor or work in a hospital or dig a well. Here I'm not talking about going on some sort of fundraising walk or lighting a candle at a vigil or setting up some sort of website to advocate for some important issue. No. No, here I'm talking about once again engaging with the people right next to us. Our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our wives, our mothers and fathers, our neighbors and co-workers. Here I'm talking about once again loving our neighbors, the people right next to us. of leaving our happy place, our cocoon, our psychological insulation, and once again engaging, serving, showing compassion. But Pastor, we've been hurt. We've been hurt badly. We've suffered. We're still suffering. And if we once again engage, if we once again serve, even show compassion to our neighbor, we risk even more pain. Jesus doesn't want that, does he, Pastor? More pain. What did Jesus do? Jesus, our gift. Jesus, our example. What did Jesus do when faced with the death of John the Baptist, when having gone off by himself, but having been followed by others for his help? Did Jesus at that point simply go further away? Did he start to run away from humanity when John was executed and keep on running? No. In spite of his suffering, even in view of his suffering, Jesus engaged. Jesus served. Jesus loved. We shouldn't be surprised that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, as he comes to us through the Word of God, would urge and encourage us to do the same. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, which I mentioned so often, are unique in this regard, aren't they? I mean, think about it. Have you noticed that the fruit of the Holy Spirit of Jesus is that which allows us to actually interact with other people? I mean, have you noticed that? There's joy and there's peace there in Galatians 5. But listen to the other fruit. It's all fruit that has to do with our interaction with people. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. And love. Are not all of these fruits of the Spirit things we need in order to actually interact with other human beings? We need them all. Every last one of them in order to love when we feel unloved. Serve when we ourselves are served by no one in order to live. Yes, yes, live not just in our happy place isolated from the world, but to live in the world which when it comes right down to it may not even want us. May not want Christians, may not want little Christ, but the world does in fact need Christians, need little Christ. The world needs us just as it needs our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For in Christ, what is gifted to the world but the way in which the world can be saved from itself? That is, from living ensconced in the loneliness of hurt, hurt caused by sin and guilt, living as if there were no public interaction at all anymore, except for an occasional comment dared to be made on Facebook, which perhaps one other person in the entire world has liked. Yes, as Christ through his life, death, and resurrection offers the world salvation from itself, so do we as little Christ, as those in whom the Spirit dwells, as those in whom even our Savior Jesus Christ dwells. Yes, as Christ offers the world salvation from himself, so do we serve as little Christ, as Christians, the world with compassion. And that is with a willingness not just to understand the hurt of those around us, but to understand and to want to do something about it. And so we do so by serving, that is by loving, as we first we're loved, as we are loved by our Savior Jesus Christ. God's gift to us, God's example to us.